This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published by the Masonic Service Association of North America every month since 1923. This, the Short Talk Bulletin podcast, is produced in cooperation with the MSA and is made possible with the generous support of a grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota.
This is Brother Chris Rulli, author of The White House and the Freemasons, bringing you Volume 102, Number 2, from February 2024, Freemasonry and the White House. This short talk is adapted from an article from the White House Historical Association. Introduction. On July 16, 1790, Congress passed the Residence Act, formally the Act for Establishing the Temporary and Permanent Seat of Government of the United States. The act empowered President George Washington and his three appointed commissioners to develop the country's new capital and manage construction of the White House, the United States Capitol, and other federal buildings. To meet their 1800 deadline, the commissioners hired dozens of stonemasons, carpenters, bricklayers, sawyers, enslaved workers, and other skilled craftsmen from throughout the United States and abroad. When they arrived in the District of Columbia, a number of these craftsmen discovered that they had shared an affiliation with the Freemasons, a fraternal society that traces its origins to 18th century England and Scotland. The fraternity soon entwined itself with the district's early history and remained a fixture in Washington society and the White House for the next two centuries. Origins. Freemasonry is the oldest fraternal society in the District of Columbia and models itself after the medieval guild system. Prospective candidates petition to join a lodge and are initiated into Freemasonry in three steps, referred to as degrees. Each degree introduces a candidate to different moral and ethical lessons that are depicted through dramatic plays. Candidates are then taught the various signs, symbols, and secret modes of recognition for the respective degrees. They advance once they are found proficient in the preceding degree. The fraternity became popular in England and Scotland during the 18th century and spread into Western Europe and the Americas. American lodges formed mostly in cosmopolitan areas like Boston, New York, and Philadelphia, where they attracted men in the middle and upper classes who could afford initiation fees and annual dues. Notable early members included Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, and Paul Revere, who joined lodges near their respective homes to improve their social standing. The fraternity's values and principles, steeped in Enlightenment philosophy and liberal education, attracted many prospective candidates. Unlike their contemporaries, early lodges remained relatively small, composed of around 20 to 30 members, and their membership fluctuated greatly due to business and travel demands. Members held their private meetings and social events in taverns, coffee houses, and other public spaces, and later pooled their resources to build dedicated Masonic halls. Lodges formed throughout the colonial United States and became early networks to connect traveling Masons and provide business, lodging, and other forms of financial support. On April 21, 1789, more than a year before Congress passed the Residence Act, a group of Georgetown merchants formed the town's first lodge, which they called Lodge No. 9 of Maryland. Early records link some of the town's most prominent men with the lodge, including Charles Ferrer, a printer and publisher of the district's first newspaper, The Times and the Potomac Packet. The Reverend Stephen Bloomer Balsh, founder of the town's first Presbyterian church, and John Souter, proprietor of Souter's Tavern, where the lodge held their meetings and social events. Construction. In July 1792, President Washington and the commissioners selected Irish architect James Hoban's designs for the proposed President's House. Hoban became a Freemason in South Carolina, but remained active after he relocated to Washington. With few laborers available in Georgetown and the vicinity, Hoban and the commissioners recruited skilled labor from throughout the United States and abroad. Of the approximately 150 free and enslaved laborers who relocated to the district to build the White House, more than 20 were known Freemasons. This group included Pierce Purcell, Hoban's business partner and supervisor of carpentry, Colin Williamson, superintendent of stonemasonry, Clotworthy Stevenson, master carpenter, Bernard Crook, stonecutter foreman, Redmond Purcell, carpenter and joiner foreman, James Dougherty, stonecutter, and general laborers William Coughlin, David Cumming, and Andrew S. Stave. Meanwhile, While on business in Edinburgh, Scotland, Philadelphia merchant George Walker secured 7 more expert stonemasons, who had all been members of the Lodge of Journeymen No. 8. The commissioners arranged for Georgetown carpenter and Lodge No. 9 member William Knowles to build the homes, workshops, and sheds around the White House for the workers. These laborers worked 6 days a week in 10-hour shifts while under intense weather and travel conditions. Spartan living and work conditions meant that Hoban and company relied on themselves for entertainment. In lieu of attending Lodge No. 9's evening meetings back in Georgetown, they decided to form their own lodge closer to the White House. They began to meet informally sometime in the spring or summer of 1793. Meanwhile, to help fund the White House's construction, the commissioners placed notices in local and national newspapers advertising tracts of land for sale. In early fall of 1792, they arranged for Lodge No. 9 to lay the White House cornerstone in a public ceremony. They hoped the event would generate sales and raise funds to pay their workforce and secure supplies. The White House cornerstone ceremony occurred on October 13, 1792. Participants assembled at Souter's Tavern in Georgetown and formed a long procession composed of the town's mayor, town council, the district commissioners, Freemasons, and guests. They departed east and arrived in an open track prepared for the ceremony. While the single known newspaper account does not specify who did what during the ceremony, Peter Casanova, the lodge's leader referred to then as the master, and his assistants likely presided over the cornerstone ritual. A brass plate engraved with a special inscription was deposited under the stone. Workmen, perhaps Colin Williamson in his role as the project superintendent, lowered the stone onto its final position. The inscription on the plate read as follows. The first stone of the President's House was laid on the 13th day of October 1792 and into the 17th year of independence of the United States of America. George Washington, President. Thomas Johnson, Dr. Stewart. Daniel Carroll, Commissioners. James Hoban, Architect. Colin Williamson, Master Mason. Vivat Republica. Casanova likely poured vessels containing corn, wine, and oil on top of the stone and tapped the stone with a mallet or gavel 3 times to symbolically complete the exercises. Casanova and assistants scaled back up the trench, where he made a brief speech and returned to Souter's for a celebratory dinner. Participants formed 16 toasts dedicated to notable individuals and groups, including George Washington, the French nation, Thomas Paine, and the Fair Daughters of America. The White House cornerstone ceremony became the earliest Masonic event in Washington City. Although he did not attend the event, George Washington did participate in a similar ceremony for the United States Capitol the following year, on September 18, 1793. Several days before the Capitol ceremony, Hoban and his colleagues obtained an official charter to become Federal Lodge No. 15 of Maryland, later Federal Lodge No. 1 of D.C., and made their first public appearance during the event. Freemasonry grew significantly during the 1800s as new Masons arrived in Washington as part of the federal government's relocation to the district. The district grew from 2 lodges in 1793 to 5 in 1810. The White House and Capitol cornerstone ceremonies became seminal moments in American history and set a precedent for future interactions between the presidents and the local fraternity. Masonic initiations in the White House. In June 1867, Andrew Johnson became the first president to undergo a Masonic initiation at the White House. His executive schedule prevented him from holding the ceremony at the Masonic Temple on 9th and F Streets Northwest, and the initiation moved to the White House. Benjamin B. French, former Commissioner of Public Buildings and past Grand Master of Masons, presided over the initiation. French and his colleague Isaiah T. C. Pearson arrived at the White House just before lunch. They dined with Johnson in the library on the second floor and then retired to their personal quarters, where French and Pearson conferred the Scottish Rite degrees and instructed Johnson on the various signs, passwords, and lectures. President William H. Taft welcomed the delegation from the Mystic Order of the Veiled Prophets of the Enchanted Realm, a Masonic independent organization, in 1911. They initiated Taft into the body during a private ceremony in the Oval Office. Similar ceremonies were held in the Oval Office in 1933 by a delegation of the Tall Cedars of Lebanon, and in 1977 for Gerald Ford by the District of Columbia's Royal Arch and Cryptic Council bodies.
This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry. And this has been the Short Talk Bulletin Podcast, produced in cooperation with the Masonic Service Association of North America for the purpose of providing a common stock of vetted Masonic information to all of the constituent lodges of all of the member jurisdictions, and is made possible through a generous grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota, who have been engaging and inspiring good men who believe in a supreme being to live according to the Masonic tenets of brotherly love, relief, and truth since 1853.